Amen. No one else like him. Speak to me, perhaps, of the Lord with you tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to St. John. St. John chapter 14. We're going to read out of 14, 15, and 16. St. John chapter 14. Verse 15 through 20. I didn't know what to title this tonight exactly, so I just titled it, What is the Holy Ghost? Amen. And we'd like to know what the Holy Ghost is, I think. Yeah. Most of you know, but really have wanted to do this for a long time. And, you know, when I look out and I listen to people about, over the years, I've seen this. The devil really fights people. You know, he really fights people to cause them or try and cause them to not know. You hear it quite often, you know, that people will say, I want the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's not a trivial thing. No one can tell you that you have it. It's a revelation that you have to have yourself between you and God. Right. And so Satan really works hard at it to try and make people doubt their experience. And so I want to just kind of speak on that tonight. And I have quite a few quotes from the prophet that we will share with you on this topic. And hopefully this will be a help to anyone that would be listening that would need to understand this a little better. So St. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 20. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Right? Even the Spirit of truth. So now we know the comforter and the Spirit of truth are the one and the same. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Who was with them right at that time? Jesus. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, just a moment ago, he said, I'll pray the Father and he'll send you a comforter. But now Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Because he's the comforter. Yeah. I will come to you. So I'm showing you that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, all ones in the self-same being, and it's Jesus Christ in spirit form. Amen? Amen. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. And then I want to go to verse 25 and 26. Same chapter, 14, verse 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance the Word. Mm-hmm. Right? You hear me say that quite often. Now I'm going to go to chapter 15, verse 26. I believe it's verse 26 or 25. Let me see. Yeah, 26. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. And then the next chapter, a little bit more lengthy, chapter 16, verse 1 through 14. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when that time shall come, or when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Remember, sin is unbelief. Right? Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity tonight just to look into your word. And we're asking, God, that you would just break the bread of life to your children. Lord, your sheep, we know, God, that your word is anointed, and so as we speak on these things, we know that your spirit and your presence is with it. And so, Lord, we just pray that you guide us. We give you liberty tonight to just to have anything, any way that you would desire service to go. We just give it to you tonight and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask some questions. You know, you don't have to verbally answer, but you can raise your hand if you want to, or not if you want to. But so how many love the Word of God? Amen. Yeah. How many want to obey the Word of God? Really? I mean, from your heart, you really do. You love the Word. And you really, from your heart, you want to obey the Word. You want to have that have place in your life, just however much. And so, how many has a burden for sinners? Right? Yeah. That you hate to see people in sin, and you hate to see the world going the way it's going. How many loves God's church? God's family,
amen.
Right? A lot of things there. And so, how many don't like keeping company in worldly things and being involved in worldly things, mm-hmm. right? And so, I want to ask you a question. You weren't born that way.
That's right.
So, what made you that way? It's pretty simple, yeah. right? It's pretty simple. So, we're just going to talk about the Holy Ghost for a little bit tonight. And so, you know, we talk about all the time, we say a lot recently, that the Holy Ghost is your promised land. Mm-hmm. It's like in the natural typing in the Old Testament, God had given them a promise, and it happened to be a land. It happened to be a place where they could go and live and raise their family and everything that they would need. They could destroy any enemy that would try to come to them as long as they stayed in that land. Remember Abraham, when he got out of the land, that's when he got in trouble. And so for the natural Jew, that land, and that's why this day, everything's going on, because that's still a promise to the natural people, right?
Right.
But all of that is just a natural type of the spiritual promise that he's given all New Testament believers, and that is the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost. I'll send that upon you. He'll come. He'll be a comforter. He'll lead you and guide you into truth. We just read it.
Yeah.
That's the promise for us, and with that experience, you have everything you'll need for your entire journey here and even off into eternity. Because once you have that experience, God don't take that away, right?
Right.
Amen.
And so it's a gift of God. You know, the scripture said all God, you know, God's gifts, we understand that they find their place and they are without repentance.
Right.
God doesn't change his mind because he's God.
Right.
So he gives it, he keeps it, he keeps his promise. And so we realize that Holy Ghost is our promised land. I'll say land. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual land. And so if in the natural you had a natural land that was given to you, how would the enemy try to get you off that land? Well, he'd come to you and tell you, why, this is not your land. This is actually belongs to somebody else, or this actually belongs to me.
Right?
And he'd try to convince you that, well, that really, you know, maybe it was your parents, but you can't have that. It's not yours. Or maybe he would dispute with you the property line and say, no, this is not your property. Your property line's actually here, and try to nibble away at what was yours. You understand?
Right.
And so translate that into our experience in the Lord. Right? The Satan would do the same thing, try to tell you, oh, that's not for you. That's not, that promise was not for you, that was for somebody else, or, oh yeah, you can have it, but it doesn't include healing, or it doesn't include salvation, or it doesn't include peace and comfort and all that. He can try to, in any which way, he can get you to doubt what is yours.
Yeah.
Right? You know those scriptures, how to go walk through the land and find it, you know, search it out so that you know what's yours. Right? Search through this Bible to find out what belongs to you. And then once you know what is yours, you got to fight for it.
Yeah.
That's right. You have to fight to keep your promise because Satan wants to take it away from you.
Right.
We know that Brother Rem talked about how that we have a spiritual inside, our spiritual inlets, I guess he called it, outlets or inlets, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And we talk about how that God can use all those, and he wants, he's the one that gave us an imagination, gave us a conscience and all those things. And he wants to use those, but Satan wants to use them.
Right.
So, you know, Satan wants to come in and squat and be there, and in doing so, make him your God,
yeah.
Right? But really, you're created for Almighty God,
right.
For him to be there, for him to live in you and to do the things that he wants to do through you. Matter of fact, you know, that he said, where is the place of my rest? What house will you build me? Where is the place of my rest? Well, the place of his rest is in us.
Right.
Right? Remember Brother Bram was saying, he said, I wish you could see, you know, he could see a milky white, but he could see the Holy Spirit. And he said, just looking for a place to rest, a believing heart.
Yeah.
That's how, in that realm, if you could see it, that when that Holy Spirit would come and he'd touch somebody and say, you just received a baptism. Right? Because it was a believing heart. That the Holy Spirit would come and it would baptize someone and so forth. This going on in the spirit realm. And so Satan will try to tell you, he's trying to get you off of your promise.
Right.
And because he knows as long as you're on that promise, he cannot defeat you.
Right.
So what is the nature of the way Satan does you? Everyone, just stop and think. He comes at you with something, and the first thing he wants to do is make you doubt.
Right.
You start doubting who I am or, you know, what's going to happen. He starts making you doubt promises,
right.
Doubting who you are. He just comes at you that way and tries to hit you. And when he comes at you, what happens? One of the first things he tries to do is try to make you just say, I'm just going to quit.
Yeah.
Quit what? Right? He's wanting you to quit something because that something is a problem for him.
Right.
And so I'm just saying, look at the nature when you fight spiritual battles. Look what effect it's trying to do to you.
Right.
Right? When it's Almighty God, it'll inspire you and you know what I'm saying? But when you're going through that testing trial, think about what is this trying to cause me to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to cause me to give up these promises, trying to cause me to doubt who I am. Right?
Right?
Trying to cause me to just, I'm just not going to do it anymore. See? And is that just me? It's everybody.
Right.
That's the nature of the attack. Because Satan is trying to attack something that's there that you didn't have before you had an experience with God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So he can get you to doubt. He can lie to you, give you false teachings. So, like I said, try to make you think, well, now this is not your land, but really this over here is. Or, you understand?
Right.
And so if Satan can put out false teaching about what the Holy Ghost is, or false teaching about what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, or false teaching about what an evidence of the Holy Ghost is,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
If he can throw that out there, what is he doing? He's trying to get people to doubt, misunderstand, be confused. Because, you know, as we've been talking about how that you had to be placed in your land, how that Joshua placed, and I'll just quote it to you. Brother Graham tells, he said, preaching brings a man under conviction or condemnation, you know, to make him repent. But he said, teaching will place you positionally what you are in Christ. And he said, you can't rightfully know what to do if you don't understand who you are. And that's the whole thing. Satan is attacking at people, trying to get them to doubt who they are, because he knows that if you don't really believe and understand, or you're confused about who you are and what belongs to you in Christ, You're not going to be very effective at fighting against him. Right. In reality, God has sent the Holy Spirit into your life to live out through you, through the way he made you, a custom expression of the Holy Spirit through your temperament that he gave you that cannot be reproduced by anybody else in this world.
Right?
Right? That's really what it is. But if Satan can kind of convince you, say, but you must be like this person or that one, you must do like that, or if you're a minister, you must preach like this one.
Right.
See? But God is a God of variety. He created us all in his own special way,
right.
And he wants to come in his Holy Spirit to work through each one of us, specially just through that one person, and no two people alike.
Right.
Amen? But if Satan can throw it out there, and he's done that. He's thrown this doctrine out there of tongues evidence, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. And it's all a smokescreen. That's what the problem the Pentecostal movement did in 1906. After a few years, they denominated and made tongues evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And right there is when they died.
Right?
Right? I can say that because the prophet said that. You know, I said the other day, you know, I don't remember, been a while maybe, but God didn't raise up somebody that didn't have a ministry and let that person be the one to try and correct Pentecost. He raised up a man who had such a ministry that Pentecost couldn't even touch it.
Right.
Right? And that was the voice that had to correct them.
Yeah.
And they should have listened.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
They should have listened. And so, if Satan can lie to you and give you a false understanding and tell you, well, you got to do this or do that, or you know, everybody's got to be the same or something like that, that's a smokescreen. So we say, what is the Holy Ghost? We said several things there, but if you'll notice, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God.
Right.
And if you've read your Bible and you've studied this, you'll know what I'm about to say is true. In the Old Testament, it never says Holy Ghost. The term Holy Ghost came about in the New Testament. Now here's why. This is my way of expressing it. In the Old Testament, it was the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. It came on. It always said the Spirit of the Lord or Spirit of God or whatever, because they didn't know it to be Holy Ghost. They just know it to be the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, or understand. And so, but when you look at the New Testament, it's written by disciples and different ones who wrote it from the perspective of after Jesus had came, lived, died, resurrected, went up high and came back in the form of the Holy Ghost, and then they started writing what they were talking about, and at that point they knew that the Spirit of God in the Old Testament had come into the man, and the man had ascended on high and come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, in the form of the Comforter, in the form of the Spirit of Truth.
Right.
And they knew that that was the Spirit of God. But if you look in the dictionary, I looked it up, and it said ghost is the spirit of a dead man. See, a ghost is not an angel or a demon. A ghost is supposed to be the spirit of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Well, dead man, whatever. Christ is not dead.
Right, right.
So that terminology come into being so we can understand, they knew that the Spirit of God came into Christ and went back up and came back in. And so there's forever a tie of now the Spirit that was just the Spirit of God in the Old Testament is the, and we could say Holy Spirit, is the Holy Ghost, because it was in Jesus.
Right.
Resurrected, and it's the Spirit that was in him. That's why that terminology is like that. But it's all one and the same.
Yeah. Right.
So you can understand. So the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. And Christ coming down in you. Now, as I think we've illustrated before, that even Jesus standing here in the flesh, the closest he could get to someone is to come up and just hug them.
Right.
But that's not good enough.
Right?
He has to be in you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Amen. And so he would have to leave. He'd have to leave being a man.
Right.
So he could come back. And so when he would say, I've got to go, because if I don't go, the Comforter can't come back and be with you and be in you. But Jesus is saying, but in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, Father's in me.
Right.
That the Spirit of God of the Old Testament is in me, and you'll understand that that day you'll know that that God was in me and I'm in you.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why Brother Branham comes along, and the whole entire Bible and the whole entire message in this day, he said, is all summed up in this one thing, is that all that was in God, he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ, he poured into his church.
Right?
And so you can understand the Holy Ghost is none other than the same Spirit that created everything, came into Christ Jesus. And we know Jesus was the Word made flesh. So as I've illustrated in the past, I look at the Word being the body that God dwells in.
Right.
And a spirit goes to its body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit lives in your body. Your spirit does not live in somebody else's body.
Right.
So when Christ comes, right?
Yeah.
It's just like Brother Brim said, the Word has to come to a prophet, but the Spirit of God has to go where His Word is. Because that's what he lives in. That's why Brother Brown had that conversation with that priest and said, you know, that Christ is, they said that God is in his church. And Brother Brown said, God is in his word.
Right.
Of course, if truly God is in his church, then he's in his church too, because he's in his word if they have the word in him.
Right.
And so, but God, you know, the Spirit of God has to go to where his word is.
Right.
And so this is why we can understand that we come into this world a predestinated people of God. We didn't know it because we come in a fallen condition, but we come in this world as a predestinated child of God. And Brother Bram tells us that you're eternal just as much as God was. And so what you have to understand is that seed that's laying in you is the Word.
Right.
Just like it was Him. And so sometime in your life, that Spirit has to come to that Word.
Right.
And it is your spirit that quickens your body.
Right.
Yeah.
So when that Spirit comes, it comes to quicken something that's laying there that can be quickened, that is the body that it belongs to, the body of the Word in you. So we all come here as a predestinated being in God and having an experience of the Word laying there to be quickened, and the Holy Spirit comes and quickens that.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we're thankful to understand these things that God is revealing them. And you know, outside of the message, people are confused.
Right.
They do not understand. If you've heard it said, I don't know whether to pray to God or Jesus or the Holy Ghost. Right? But when you understand it all, you realize it's God in three offices.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, as God was in Christ, and Christ was the manifestation of everything God was prior to that, and Christ turns around and comes into his church, and here at the end time, you have a bride who God raises up, and she becomes the manifestation of everything that Christ is,
mm-hmm.
right? Because she's the bride of Christ.
Right.
Amen. Just like Jesus was in unity with his Father, we're in unity, to be in unity with Christ.
Right.
Amen.
So we know that's the way it works. And so Jesus, this is why Jesus said, I must go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't come again.
Right.
He had to change from flesh body into spirit form so he could live in you, not just right next to you.
Right.
Amen. So how do you know if you have it? How do you know if you have the Holy Ghost? We just talked about what it is. Well, it's not necessarily a specific action or a specific thing. And so I've got quite a few quotes I'm going to read over just what Brother Brent was telling about this. Just a little file that I've created, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And so just listen to what he had to say, and I'll try to stress on the things as I get to them. Brother Ben was talking about parasites and lizards and frogs and things that live in yucky water. And so he says, that's the way it is with a lot of these parasites today. You can't live in fresh water. The fresh water of the Holy Spirit. So he's typing, I'll go ahead and tell you, he's typing people who got to do this and got to do that and got to do something else to be a Christian. You ain't got the Holy Ghost unless you do this or you do that. And he's typing that as these critters that live in stagnant water.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Okay? And remember, he had a ministry vindicated enough that he could be the one to correct them. So he says, You can't live in the fresh water of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason they're so firmly against the word and says it contradicts itself or there's nothing to it, is because they have to have some kind of stagnant pool to wiggle in.
Right.
Now think about that. They got to have some sort of stagnant denominational system to do what they want to do, because they can't do it in the word.
Right.
Right? They can't do it in the word. Okay, and so that's the same way it is with frogs and lizards and tadpoles and such as that. They've got to get around the swamp or the stagnant pool to live. For it's their nature to live there.
Yeah.
And you can't change an animal's nature until you can't change an animal until you change his nature. And you cannot make a man see the word of God until his nature is changed. And when his nature's changed from the thing he was to a son of God, then the Holy Spirit comes into him. And the Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. Right? The Holy Spirit's the one who wrote the word. He is the word. He's the spirit of the word. And Brother Mammon says, today I was talking to my good friend, Dr. Lee Vail, who is present now. He's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on scriptures. Very smart. Talking about Brother Vail. Very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. And I said, no, I can't see that. He said, neither do I, said, though I've been taught that. He said, what would you think would be the evidence? And I said, pay close attention, this was many years ago from when he was saying this. And he said, I said, the most perfect evidence that I can think of is love. And so we got to talking on that, and then I thought that sounded pretty good, so I just held to that, if a man's got love.
Right.
Everybody went with me? But one day, the Lord, in a vision, straightened me out. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. He said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the word.
Right.
Neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the word.
Yeah.
Now, I done got you a while ago when I said, how many love the word? And I said, from your heart. And you know down inside you love the word of God, and you want that. You want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as in heaven. What does that in you? Because you can look back and say, there was a day that I had no concern for that.
Yeah.
Right? But now you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you. Not that old man. That's the new you. But it's receiving the word. And then Dr. Vail was saying to me, that's scriptural. He said, because in John 14, Jesus said, when he, the Holy Ghost, has come upon you, he will reveal things to you that I've taught you and will show you things to come. We read it. So there's the genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost. And he has never told me anything wrong yet. It's the evidence of the Holy Ghost is when he can believe the word and you can receive it. Because Jesus never said, when the Holy Ghost has come, you'll speak with tongues. He never said, the Holy Ghost has come, you'll do these, you'll do any of those things. But he said, he will take these things of mine and show them to you, and will show you things to come. So there's your genuine evidence of the Holy Ghost, according to Jesus himself. So all these sensations and things that people have and still live on, you can see why they do it. See, because it's a denominational or a stagnant pool.
Right.
Right? When people try to tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that, it's a stagnant pool. That's something there that Satan has thrown out there to get you to doubt. Because he hasn't called everyone to speak in tongues. He hasn't called everyone to prophesy or preach or whatever it is. Every person has their own experience in God. And we'll read you just a little bit more, that what God wants for you, and it's revealed to you, and that becomes who you are in your relationship with him, and you don't have to act like anybody else. All you have to do is just be who you are and let the Holy Ghost move you.
Amen.
And he'll do what he wants in you. right? He will do, but people should be really seeking that kind of walk with God, because God does want to speak in tongues. He does want to have miracles and healings and casting out devils. He wants all of that resident in his people, and that comes when his people, and especially a body of believers, when all in unity, they all have that experience being what God has called them to be, then God sets these things in order as the way he desires to. So it's just a denominational stagnant pool.
Right.
Question and answers. Brother Branham said, "Dear Brother Branham, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and the Word says you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Does this mean that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or does it mean I should receive the gift, definite, or I should have received a definite experience in the baptism? I'm anxious to be filled with the Spirit. Please excuse a long note. I have been wanting to ask this for a long time." Brother Rem says, "Thank you. This person's from out of town. It's a good question." He says, "Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a definite experience that a person must receive. But let me clear that up for just a moment." He says, "Now, many people have the idea, and I believe it's twisted, or maybe right here in the church, and to the church that's listening, there might be a question. Now, when I speak of not believing the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, I do not accept that. I believe, with God's help, that I can prove in the Bible that that's wrong, because speaking in the tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost." Of course, we know devils can do it too.
Right.
It is a gift of the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? Divine healing is a gift of the Holy Ghost, and the Beatles are doing it. So if you remember, in that day when the Beatles, and they were reading an article where the Beatles went somewhere, and as their plane landed, there was the tarmac was lined with people, and people were throwing away their crutches, rushing forward at the Beatles. And so Brother Branham had just read that, and he said, you know, a divine healing is a gift of the Holy Ghost, and the Beatles are doing it. And he said, Satan can impersonate any of those gifts. So he can impersonate things. He's not a genuine healer, right? But he says, witches and wizards can speak in tongues and interpret the jungle land. Many times a wizard will speak in tongues, drink blood out of a human skull, and interpret in the unknown tongues. And he goes on and talks about how out in Arizona they have a snake dance, and they wind out doing some of the same things and get themselves worked up and begin to speak in tongues, and there's some interpreting that goes on and so forth. And Brother Branham said, "I could take you right now, 3 or 4 hours from now, where a medium could lay a pencil on a table and go into a trance with all kinds of things and wave their hands, and that pencil will raise up and write in unknown tongues, and a wizard will stand there and tell you what it says. Now, that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost." See, you can't rely on that. And you can't rely on fruit of the Spirit, because fruits of the Spirit is love, and the Christian Science exercise more love than anybody I know of. And they even deny that Jesus is being divine. See, there's only one evidence of the Holy Spirit that I know of, and that's a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. That's the evidence. But Satan wants you to think all this other stuff.
Right.
And as he does that, it causes people to doubt and begin to doubt their experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to turn back to that very personal relationship of, you know, down inside you, something's different.
Right.
And you like, you can see that what's in you agrees with the Word, likes the Word, loves the Word, wants to see God's. When you see that land living in there, you know something's happened.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But dear Brother Branham, is it possible for one to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not have signs following, or at least until some future time or condition appointed by the Spirit? Well, Brother says, that might sound like a mixed-up question, but that's a good one, very good. Now, here gives me a little chance. He's talking about how that he... most of the people in the church are Pentecostals, and how that he hangs with the Pentecostal church because they're the latest message that came. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. So he says, "I hang with them." He said, "But I have condemned them in every way that I know how, because they went to their tongues evidence and they denominated." But he said, now this person here is asking about possibility of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost without signs following them. He said, if you are born first as a human being, a normal human being, he said, now I'm answering this in a real juvenile way, but if you're born a natural human being, you will actually do the things that normal human beings do.
Right?
Is that right? When you're born as a human, the natural traits of human beings will follow you. You won't live in a tree. You won't try to fly with your wings like a bird, something like that. That wouldn't be normal human being or normal actions of a human being.
Right?
The normal actions of a human being would be to work and to marry and have a family and do these things. That's the natural, normal human being because you're born of that. Then when you're born as a Christian, you're born of the Spirit of God. You naturally take up the attributes of Christ. You see? Now, if we took here this morning in this congregation where you people sit here and listen day after day and so forth to the teaching, and you'd find out you'd be different one from another. You're different. Your makeup is different. Your appetite is different. You eat different. But you all eat food.
Right?
They like have different appetites, but they all eat food. But now, with one individual as being like another, when you're different from one another, and Christians do the same thing. You can't say now, do all speak with tongues? Do all prophesy? You have to watch these things because a Christian takes up the habits of Christians and they live like Christians. And Jesus said, these signs will follow them to believe. Notice, in my name they'll cast out devils, they'll take up serpents, they'll drink deadly things. They'll speak with new tongues. And them things just actually follow Christians. And now the person has a very good thing here. He quotes the person in the question where they said, or until a future time when the Holy Spirit would appoint it, right? He said, or do we wait until a future time or condition appointed by the Holy Spirit? He said, I like that. See, now you get the idea. When it's appointed by the Holy Spirit, God appoints things. And there, I think, if the Pentecostal people would just try to listen to this tape, you'll understand me if you'll just get here why I differ with you, pressing the idea that they must all speak with tongues. I cannot see that right because I like cherry pie. I'm a human being. But there's no need in me telling you that if you don't eat cherry pie, you're not a human being.
Right?
But see, eating cherry pie is one of the habits of human beings. It's, some.
Yeah.
You might disagree with me on that, and it's true. But now, one will eat this, and another will do something else. And now, the Holy Spirit appoints these offices, but when you try to force them yourself into it, see, he's telling you, don't try to force yourself into something the Holy Spirit don't want you to do, right? Because of false teaching, people try to.
Right.
If I said to you, if I said you had to eat cherry pie, what if cherry pie made you vomit? And yet you'd vomit and try to eat cherry pie and vomit. See, you're just hurting yourself. And that's the way it is trying to do when you try to force yourself to do something that's contrary to the Spirit. He's got your life lotted out for a certain thing. Do you understand that? See? And you, when you're filled with the Spirit, here's one of the best signs that I know of, that you're so in love with Christ, you believe every word that he says is the truth. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Your life is full of joy and everything's different. Everything's different, right? And then what it used to be, that's the Holy Spirit. And now these gifts are in the Holy Spirit. Now, if the congregation this morning, if every person in here was perfectly in harmony with the Spirit, every one of you was filled with the Holy Ghost and in harmony with the Holy Spirit, these signs would just multiply among you all the time.
Right.
So he's trying to show us here that we're all different, but if we all are filled with the Holy Ghost, these attributes of God would be just multiplied. You couldn't keep from it. It just happened all the time.
Right?
Amen. Not just one person or not just the ministry, but all.
Yeah.
Right? And not just in church. See? It'd just be constantly going on. Or constantly going. But where there's confusion, where there's difference, and where we set up, then the Holy Spirit cannot move itself. See? It can't operate through people in that condition.
Right.
See? And there, if I said, now, each one of you, did you speak in tongues? Yep. Well, you got it. Did you speak in tongues? Nope. Well, you don't have it. See, he says, now I'm making myself a judge. God is the judge of these things.
Right.
But watch, Jesus said these signs follow them that believe. And the group that believes, the whole nature of the Holy Spirit flows through them. The group that believes. Right? The group that believes, the nature, the whole nature of the Holy Spirit flows through them. And they are full of love and joy and just a great bundle of real godly people. See, that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then in there, they speak with tongues on occasion that the tongues arise. When it's necessary for that, they speak in tongues. And if there's prophecy, it speaks. And it's just exactly perfect every time. Right?
Right.
Now, if the whole church would work in harmony like that, then among us, we'd be casting out devils, taking up serpents, drinking deadly things, and all kinds of things going on. But when you try to force that to individuals, then you get yourself, that's Pentecost again. That's what he said. That's right. Pentecost again. So he's saying that's what the mistake they made by trying to force things instead of just letting the Holy Spirit line you out for what he wants to do through your life. He said, that's Pentecost again. Then you get Babylon, confusion. And you can't judge that. Our hearts are so full of joy and happiness, and oh my, the birds are singing, everything's wonderful. My, just full of the Spirit of God, and we're so in love with Jesus, we want to pray all night. And he goes on to say, I don't want to embarrass the crowd or even myself to you, but I wonder if I could just ask this morning, which one of you in this crowd of the people that's had the Holy Ghost, and pretty 95% of you would raise your hand and say, you got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But he said, now I can turn around and give you a Bible evidence, just one, a Bible evidence, and I doubt whether there'd be one or two hands go up. Just tie it down to such a place. But when you do that, see, you're hurting your congregation. But you've got to get them out of that babyhood and get them into manhood. And what Brother Branham's talking about there, he actually says it's another place where you go back, and I think in Ezekiel, where he's saying, let the go through and put a mark on all those who sigh and cry against the sins, you know, and then let the mark, the ones come along and slay all those that don't have that mark. And he said, you know, how many sigh and cry? And if that's the evidence of having the Holy Ghost, probably not very many would.
Right.
So that's what he's saying. But what he's showing her is that if you tied it down and you could say, I'm gonna nail it down here. If you're not sighing and crying, you just don't even have it. And he's trying to show us that's not right.
Right?
We should have a burden. But so it's the whole nature of the Holy Spirit that works in a congregation or works in your home, works in people, all different, but he knows his body.
Right.
He knows how to put everything in a group that needs to be in a group. But the one thing is that everybody in the group needs to have that experience where they know that they love God and they're just doing everything they can to surrender to him more and more every day.
Amen.
Amen. We believe that. And so I said a while ago, what made that change in you? We'll seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek a greater walk in the Lord.
Amen.
And he'll work these things in your life. Amen. Because his gifts always find their place. And I'll end by saying this, and I mentioned this here a while back. But what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? And I just, you know, in my own little natural way of thinking, I'll pick on Malachi for a moment. Let's say if I had a bucket of chicken, and that bucket was full of chicken. If anybody would reach their hand in there and pull out a manifestation of what was in there, what would they come out with? Chicken. Because it's full of chicken.
Right.
Now, if there was other things in there, why, I don't know, they might pull out anything, whatever it is. But when it's full, and this is what I'm saying, when you see in the scriptures and they were full of the Holy Ghost, and what happened? They were doing something, right? And sometimes they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues, sometimes not, right? When they're filled with the Holy Ghost means that when you're under that, you're full, any expression or anything that comes from you at that moment is going to be God. Because that's all that can come from you. But now if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, it might be a little bit you, might be a little bit of God, might be a little bit of His Word. But you understand, God wants us often to be full of the Holy Ghost. Right? Because, and you do too. Because you don't want to manifest anything that's you. Right? And so that's our set point there. We want to be full of it. It doesn't mean you don't have it. Right? Being full means you're just totally baptized over, just totally wet, you know, like water, just soaking wet. After a while, you'll dry off, you know, right? So you understand. So the Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost? Well, it's the Spirit of God, but it comes into you, and we can go on and on and on, and I'm not going to, but comes into you, changes you, gives you a desire for the things of heaven. Do you still make mistakes? Absolutely.
Right.
But then the devil will try to tell you, well, it's not so. You tell him, like I think Brother Bram said when they said, that's of the devil, those visions. He said, how can that be of the devil when I love the Lord as much as I do in my heart? Yeah. Right? Amen. But I'll leave it with you. It's just remember it. No one can tell you, but you know. You know if something's happened in you. Amen? And you might have some physical experience that accompanies that.
Right?
I had a physical experience tonight that something changed in me, and I went away and I knew something had changed. Mm-hmm. Right? I knew it.
Right.
And it made me a different person. And I remember driving home and I said, that's it. And it's still there, you know? And so that's what you look for. Yeah. So I hope that these few words tonight, just about that, we could go on and on. Like I said, it's a huge topic of what it's all for. But that is, the scripture said, that is the earnest. That Holy Spirit is the earnest. Mm-hmm. And so I said a while ago, the Word laying in you, dormant, and He comes to that. That new birth is when that Word is quickened to you. The Spirit comes upon it and quickens that to you. And now you have a revelation of that Word. Personal revelation of Jesus Christ is the new birth.
Right.
That comes upon you. Now, there are people who can have the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon their flesh, and they're not quickened if they're not that Word.
Right.
It's just, you know, and that's why Brother Rem had to come along and say, false anointed ones at the end time, because He wants us to understand that not everybody that speaks in tongues, not everybody that does these things, shouts and runs. That doesn't, that's not it. It goes way beyond that. We're bride time.
Right.
To show us it way beyond that. It's down in that soul where there's Word laying there. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon that, it's not just an anointing on their flesh to make them do something, but it quickens that, and down inside they know there's Word living in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. That's the difference between church and bride. Amen. And how thankful we are that God has come in this day to help us see and know those things. And I pray that we really do, you know. Amen. So let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings upon us tonight. Just pray, God, that You take these words that I have shared, that You put on my heart, and just seal it away, Lord. And next time the enemy comes to someone here that's listened to this and tries to tell them that they're not a believer, maybe they go back and remember these things that we talked about tonight. Remember these things that are in Your Word and what Your prophet has told us. May they defeat the enemy, be able to stand there on their ground and not be moved. We love You, Lord. We just thank You for Your Word. Pray, God, that You live in us and continue this great, wonderful message in our lives. Till everyone has come to that place, Lord, where You're pleased, and we're fully surrendered, every one of us, to Your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. 247, I think it is, 247. To be a witness to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the Bible said that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you'll be witnesses. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. Know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. Eyes of faith I see.
Oh,